Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, and welcome to A Fine Time for Healing, a sanctuary for your emotional well-being. Your host is Randy Fine, author of the memoir Finally, and the inspirational self-help book Awaken from Life. Here's Randy.
Good morning. Thank you for tuning in to listen to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine. Today's show is one that is absolutely fascinating. You know, when I first met my guest, or well, I haven't met her yet, but Ronell Wood, when I was first introduced to what she does, I really had no idea what it was. And as I read her book, which is called Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia, I was just so intrigued with what Ronell had to say. It is such an amazing way for us to heal our bodies in such a gentle, natural way. And I'm surprised I'd never heard of it, but I want to introduce you to this topic because I think it is going to be so important to all of your healing. Like I said, my guest today is Ronell Wood, and she is the author of Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. And she was once a speech pathologist, but now she is a respected authority on fascia and healing. And she discovered through myofascial release, which you will learn about, and True Body, which is trademarked, True Body Alignment, which she had never found in talk therapy, prescription drugs, or surgery. True Body combines the science of body mechanics with myofascial release. And like she says, you might say it is a mat-to-table experience. And people have been traveling all over the world since 2008 to visit her in her sanctuary in Ojai, California. I want to bring Ronell on and so that she can talk to you and explain this to you in a much better way than I can. So good morning, Ronell. How are you?
Good morning. I'm happy in Ojai, California this morning.
That's great. That's great. Ojai is where? What part of California?
We are located between Santa Barbara and Ventura, so it's not far south and it's not central. It's somewhere in between.
Nice. Very nice. Very nice. Well, tell us about this book this is your first book, right?
Yes.
Okay, so what inspired you to write this book?
I wanted to be able to reach a larger audience. What I talk about in the book were the things that I say every day when I do my work. And the feedback was, this is groundbreaking, Ronell. You really need to get this into a book. And lo and behold, a famous writer, Gay Hendricks, came into my office, and we were working with his knee replacement, and he said, if you don't write this, you're really missing an opportunity, so go ahead and do it, and if you do, I'll write the foreword. And that was all I needed to hear. It was
beautiful.
Over after that.
Beautiful, beautiful. Well, you wrote it very, very well, and it is, you know, to my listeners, it's so easy. It's such an easy read and so intriguing that you can really get through this book pretty quickly. So most people don't know what myofascial release is. What, can you explain that to us?
Yes, absolutely. The place to start is to understand that your body is made up of a system of little tiny transparent tubules all connected to each other, and they have always been called the connective tissue, or the more sciencey word for that is fascia, like fashion, but it's spelled F as in Frank, A-S-C-I-A, fascia. Not to be confused with fascia or facial. So while you do have fascia in your face, this isn't a fluff and fold kind of method of treating the body. And there are three aspects to fascia. It is not only connective, it is also protective, and it communicates. The third part we did not really understand until about 11 years ago when Dr. Jean-Claude Gambartau decided that in order to fix a tendon in a hand, he needed to address the saran wrap around the muscle, because after he would do surgery, people would have a lot of restriction in their movement, and he wanted to understand why. So he got permission from his clients to take his fiber optic surgical tools inside a human body and magnify what he was seeing while he looked around. And he gave us that view in a video called Strolling Under the Skin. And the reason this was groundbreaking was twofold. Prior to that, we had already studied fascia on cadavers. So we would open up someone who had passed away, and we would see this brown, slimy, squishy stuff between the layers, everything. And after it dried out a little bit, it looked kind of like cotton candy, dry and brittle and crackly. And when surgeons would do a procedure on a living person, that's kind of what they had in mind, that this is just packing material in the way. And they would slice right through it, cut it, shear it, get it out of the way, and repair what they went in for. Then when they would sew up the scar, they didn't realize that they had interrupted this beautiful fibrous matrix inside the body that in its healthy state would lie down in the same direction as the muscle, and all the fibers would face the same way. But after being cut or even torn, the fascia repairs like plaid. So the fibers are back and forth, crisscross and diagonal, and it makes that area thicker than it was before. It also reaches out from underneath the skin to stabilize, and it can wrap around structures inside you in its effort to repair more strong than it was before. So you can have a surgery, let's use cesarean section for an example, in your 20s, and in your 50s, you're finding that you have bowel problems and indigestion and pain in your stomach and difficulty with elimination. And you'll ask your doctor, what do you think that is? Could it be related to the scar from my cesarean section? And they'll say, well, that was 30 years ago. That couldn't possibly be related. But in fact, we know now that that is an aspect of what goes on in the body that we need to respect and understand and address. And I'm hoping that in the future, when doctors know better the function of fascia, that they will automatically prescribe myofascial release, and it does have its own diagnosis code, is covered by some insurances, to a patient who has had surgery to help them recover from the surgery, have fewer complications, restore circulation, and get sensation back into that area of their body that was assaulted in the body's kind of opinion about things, and help it be welcomed back into the family without having these far-reaching consequences. But the third aspect of fascia that he saw is the communicative aspect, because he could not deny, and when you watch the video, you would not be able to deny that these little fibers look exactly like fiber optics. They're hollow, they're transparent, they're filled with fluid, and they conduct light. The implications of that understanding are far-reaching. We don't even have to explain what fiber optics are because all of us have cable, and those images and sounds come into our home through those little glass tubules of cable. That's why they call it cable company. And so in the body, if those little tubules are transmitting information through light, is it possibly the mechanism of our consciousness? And if so, we want to look at the fascial system because it is the one system in our body that contacts every other system. And people will ask me, do I have fascia in my brain or do I have fascia in my hand or my foot? And that's when I launch into the explanation where I use an orange as an analogy. If you can imagine, an orange without its peel still holds its shape. It's sitting there in your palm, just as round as it was before it had a, you take the peel off. All that white pith helps it hold its shape. And we are just like that. Underneath our skin is a superficial layer of fascia that surrounds everything. But you can take a section out of the orange and see that it has its own encasement. And we are that way too. We have a container around all our muscles and organs. And yet you can still open a section of the orange and see that each tiny little piece of pulp has its own container as well. And we are like that all the way down to muscle spindle and organelle, all the way down to bone. And bone is just mineralized fascia. And the beauty is it's all connected. So when you are pulling on your arm, for instance, if someone tractions your arm, you're accessing every other fascial fiber in your body, like a pull in a sweater. And if you look at your overall health from this perspective, and I tell you the function of fascia when you get scared is to squeeze. Over a lifetime of squeezing in response to fear without an interruption. So the squeeze is the sympathetic nervous system that does the, dear God, we're going to die, releases adrenaline, gives your whole fascial system a tightness so that you can spring into action. If we don't know when those moments are past and we go on about our life, sometimes the parasympathetic rest and restore response is not stimulated and our body is in perpetual look out, watch out, be prepared, dear God, we're going to die mode. And this squeezing can wear out your organs and muscles because you're getting a tighter and tighter straitjacket going on inside your body. And this process begins at childhood, from the time you're being told, please sit down, please hold still, please be quiet, which you absolutely need to learn in order to be socially appropriate. And when you're learning that, you hold in your throat so that you don't talk too loud or say rude things or tell family secrets. And you hold in your arms so that you don't reach out and slap other children or steal their toys. And you hold in your legs so you don't kick people and run away. And when we're young, we have a lot of opportunity to jump around and spaz out and move in goofy ways to discharge that holding. But the older we get, the more appropriate we are, the more dignified we are. Add on a couple of traumatic experiences, whether emotional or physical, and you can have a body so wound up with patterns of holding that you get high blood pressure, you get lack of flow through your lymph system, you get all these diseases of pressure inside the body that inhibit movement and flow that a doctor may give a diagnosis or a origin of idiopathic origin. They'll say, we don't know why this started. And it can sometimes resolve, and they don't know why some people have a resolution of degenerative disc disease, and some don't. But with this perspective, my dream is to have a platform so large that we shift an entire paradigm, the perspective on the human body, and that doctors will, in the directive to first do no harm, much before they prescribe pain medication or surgery, will send somebody for myofascial release long before all of that to interrupt these patterns and see if that doesn't resolve the problem.
Wow. Wow. That's all I can say. You know, I want to tell my listeners that that Ronell initially mentioned this this documentary or video called Strolling Under the Skin. And I want to encourage you to look that up, go on YouTube and actually look up Strolling Under the Skin. You will be, your mind will be blown. It is the coolest thing. You know, and I think everybody's heard of fascia, but nobody really knows what it is. And I like, you know, I like how you explain that, you know, in medical school, they're working on cadavers where all tissue is basically dead. And so there's really no way to learn that. I think this is absolutely groundbreaking. This is amazing, amazing stuff. What happens when someone is being worked on, when they're you're working on somebody with myofascial release? What happens?
I'm getting a visual picture in my mind of all the explaining that I do about it, taking up a certain amount of time only for you to come in and receive treatment and think, oh, that's all? Because it's so very simple. It takes a patient therapist, because we know that where fascia is concerned, it will not be rushed. It has had a lifetime of saying, who goes there in the body? So if we approach the body quickly, it will brace. It knows how to handle that. And we have had a lifetime to prove how tough we are. And the challenge on the table is to find out how soft you can be. So one of the major distinguishing factors in myofascial release that really sets it apart from regular massage is we use no lotion, no oil whatsoever, because we do not want to glide over the skin. That would be addressing the skin and the package and kind of squeezing and pushing quickly across the surface of the body. We want to engage that superficial layer of fascia just underneath the skin. So after your initial interview, where we find out what surgeries and accidents have you had in your life, those are very poignant to us because it can give us a picture of where in your body you may be holding. You then get on the table, and here's the other question. Do I have to get completely undressed? Pretty much is the answer. You can leave anything on that you want to if you feel you need to preserve your modesty, but we do not work over the top of fabric at any point because we want to mobilize your tissue, not the material that's on you. But we are always making sure you are completely draped, because if you are cold, have to go to the bathroom, or are scared, your body will not want to let go. So we do everything to create that safety there. And the first thing I will do is I'll just place my hand on the surface of the skin and wait while my hand sinks in. Your response will be, okay, what is she going to do? Why did she put her hand there? Is she going to push now? Is she going to squeeze now? Is this going to hurt? All of that's going on inside your mind. And by not proceeding quickly, it kind of brings you into a meditative state where you can soften. Okay, nothing's going to be sudden. Okay, she's not doing anything. Okay, I don't know how to prepare for what she's going to do. Oh, I give up. And you just let go. And then as my hand is warm and sinks in, I traction. I move my hand and see where the skin will give. And it's a tattletale. You will see very clearly where the skin is able to shift and move. And you take it right up to the border where it resists. So we don't go into the pain area, but we do press the skin and shift it until it won't shift anymore. And then we do not back off. And we can stand and hold something for 5 minutes. And eventually the body begins to melt. And you can feel this kind of buttery slide happen under the skin as these patterns that have been there for years give up and allow for this easing, sinking, warming, melting, opening. And patients will say, this is the very thing I have never known I always wanted.
Now, you talk about in your book some of the things that people, you know, experience and they say and that how it could be an embarrassing situation, but that they are so free to experience these things. Can you elaborate on that?
Yes. There has to be some place in this world where you are allowed to just be yourself and just let go. And that is the environment we create in the treatment session, where you don't have to be polite, politically correct, hold on to anything, or have any particular reaction. You can lay on the table and we might not know what's going on underneath the surface. But as you're allowing yourself to let go, soften, and feel, it can be an enormous liberating feeling. And I think I'm good at what I do because I've gone about doing the firsthand research of injury and pain. I have had my own experiences of emotional and physical trauma. And the way it feels to me in treatment, at least initially when they said, it's okay, just let go, I thought, yeah, right, you can't handle it if I let go. I firmly believe that the entire world will actually fall apart and stop spinning if I let go. And so there is what we encounter as the initial permafrost in someone's body, the protective layer. And what actually happened for me in my very first experience was I realized as I was lying on the table that I felt mad. And that was baffling to me because I didn't come in mad, but my chin started to wiggle. And the therapist put her finger on my chin and said, let that sound out. And so the sound that I made was like, she said, here's a pillow. If you need that and you want to muffle yourself, go ahead and let that sound out. And my thought was like Jack Nicholson, you know, you can't handle that sound. But then I felt like she had asked me to do something. I was going to take the risk and that she asked for it. And if it was awful, so be it. And I just bellowed into that pillow. I just screamed at the top of my lungs and had a horrified feeling of, oh, my gosh. Everybody heard that. I'm that girl. I have finally gone completely crazy and I'm never coming back. And that wasn't the case at all. My body, when given permission to let go and move in any way that I wanted to, found itself really pushing and pulling and twisting and writhing. And I ended up under the table. I remember looking up at the cables underneath and thinking, how did I get here? And I just kept saying over and over again, I had no idea. I had no idea. And she whispered in my ear, but what if you did? And that moment changed my life because look what I do for a living. she didn't have to know about all the events of my life, and I didn't have to report after I had that experience about why that happened in my body. I just had permission to let go, and as it turned out, I did have some perspective about why my body had been holding like that, because when I looked in the mirror afterward, I had little red petechia around my eyes, and the last time I had seen that was when I had had a really difficult birth with my second child, and I had had to, I was married, but my husband left because he was a physician and he had to finish out a contract 3,000 miles away. And I had a 20-month-old and my newborn to take care of, and I just had to suck it up. I didn't have a chance to let down and recuperate from the difficulty and the kind of sadness that comes with postpartum and with my husband being gone and being by myself. And it had been 10 years since that had happened, and my body had never had the chance to tell the truth about how it felt. So it had some stories to tell. And I was really relieved, because leaving those patterns in there would have led to disease.
Okay. Wow, I just love this. So if somebody comes, is there like a certain amount of sessions that somebody would have to go through, or it really just depends on how quickly their body reacts?
Each person is different. We have to come up with a method. And so we offer discounts on 5 sessions at a time, because when you think about the number of years your body has been creating the pattern, you realize it's not going to be interrupted in a day. But some people have really profound first one-time sessions, and those are usually young people. The patterns are still pretty pliable, and they haven't had a whole lifetime of holding it in and building it up, or they don't have a lot at stake. As I said, I was afraid I was going to go crazy. And the older you get, like if you run an empire, you think, I can't afford to fall apart.
Right.
Because I'm in charge of everything. So when you're younger, it's easier. And also it's important to note that if the patterns of fascia do not get interrupted, they will calcify. In other words, the fascial makeup begins to change and crystallize and turn to bone. So there are some instances, if in hammer toes specifically, where the fascia has turned to bone and those toes won't lay down anymore unless there's broken in surgery. So we really want to get in there and interrupt those patterns. And that is the job of the therapist, to find those areas and interrupt them.
Right. You know, as I was reading your book and kind of reading about this particular what you're saying about how, you know, trying to interrupt the patterns. You know, I was thinking about how I've gone to have my neck worked on or whatever, you know, and I walk out of there feeling so loose and everything. And then something happens, I'm stressed out, and it's tight again. And I'm like, why did I bother? So I get that. I get that the patterns keep going back unless you really release what's underlying it.
That's true. And with regular massage, it just brings circulation to the area, but it doesn't address the tightness in the fascia. So many people do say that they are frustrated that they get only short-term relief. And that is kind of what I was looking for as a massage therapist, because I felt bad when people would come back over and over again with the same complaint. And I wanted to find something that was a more long-term solution to what was going on in people's bodies. And that's
right.
What myofascial release did for me and continues to do for me, because if you think about it, I have been doing massage since 1993, and I'm not burnt out, and I'm not broken, and I'm not about to quit. And that's unusual, because massage therapists generally throw in the towel after about 3 years.
Hmm. So what is so touching light therapy is basically what you're talking about, what you've told us about?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. So is this something that
talk a little bit
yeah,
I'm
gonna
talk
okay.
a little bit about
you know what? Let me give
sure.
you the floor. Tell me talk whatever
okay.
talk about whatever maybe we haven't talked about that's important to you.
The emotional aspect of letting go can be a really empowering thing to learn about your body. As I've said, from a young age, when you're learning to hold and you tighten and you squeeze the fascia, you are developing a pattern in your body that persists into adulthood. And the function of fascia when you get scared or emotional is to tighten and squeeze. And the best analogy that I can give is to imagine that cave woman used to be able to have an honest reaction to adrenaline. In other words, she'd be walking along around the corner, encounter a wild animal, get a huge shot of adrenaline from her kidneys straight into her psoas muscle, and she would obey that adrenaline. She'd spring up into the air. She may fight off that beast with her muscles, or she may run from the beast or all of the above. And in the process of movement in her body, she metabolizes away all of that adrenaline plus the byproduct of her muscular use, lactic acid, uric acid. And by the time she got to safety, she would pee it all away, and all of that chemistry of fear would leave her body. Now, modern woman, she is driving. Someone pulls out in front of her suddenly. She gets the same amount of adrenaline cave woman used to, straight from her adrenal glands, which sit on top of the kidneys, straight to the muscle right beside the belly button that runs down to the leg to lift the leg for fight or flight. And she has to tell her body, not now, because she would put everybody in danger if she had an honest reaction. So the only movement she can allow herself is from the accelerator to the brake. And she has a half an hour to drive home. And by the time she gets there, she has either forgotten that it happened or she processes it intellectually and tells somebody, some jerk pulled out in front of me, nearly killed us all. But she doesn't know that inside her body, every fascial fiber is in dear God, we're going to die mode, and it's holding, frozen, squeezing that chemistry against the surface of the muscle. If she knew that we all suffer from severe lack of temper tantrum, she would know that for the biology of her body, she should go into her room, close the door so nobody's looking and getting scared or accusing, and lie on her bed on her back and gently pound her fists and kick her heels. It doesn't even have to be an authentic feeling to start with. You can fake it until you start to really feel that reaction to adrenaline. You could scream into a pillow and let your body fully express and tell the truth about how it felt at that moment. It doesn't last forever. It's like a little storm in the summer that just blows through and it's over. And you can release in 10 minutes 10 years of holding. And afterwards, what is triggered in your body as you're letting go of that chemistry of fear, the blood gets between the layer of saran wrap fascia and muscle, and it sweeps all of that chemistry back into your bloodstream to be eliminated, and it triggers a release of endorphin, dopamine, and oxytocin from your brain. So you're literally letting go of fear and filling up with love. But there's a little tricky spot in between there. When that fear chemistry flushes into your bloodstream, that is what can give you emotional feelings. The reaction to that chemistry is fear or grief or sadness or anxiety, and usually the unpleasant stuff that we hide. And it can cause you to think, oh, I better get this under control so nobody thinks that I am crazy. But it's not you going crazy. It's you going sane because your storage tank of experience is emptying out. And if you can allow yourself to feel the feelings, I like to say you can't heal what you can't feel, then it can be done. It is your body letting go, not taking something in. And all of that which has been stored can be emptied out so that you don't fill up over a lifetime of keeping it together, sucking it up, having a stiff upper lip, and trying to hide how you really feel. I want to be clear in saying that this is not something you do to anybody. It's your own personal experience. So you don't lash out when you get mad. If you can find a quiet place alone and start your SNIT fitness program, you can liberate all of this acidity and sour chemistry in your body that has gotten gummy and crystallized and has caused the saran wrap of fascia to adhere to the muscle, to be freed up and emptied out. So that's really powerful to know that you are not the victim of your emotions, that you can have a program by which you allow yourself to feel, because we get well taught not to feel, but nobody ever came along and said, oh, yeah, there is a time when you should. There is a great time when you want to find a pressure release valve in your body and let that steam out.
There's only we only have like 3 minutes left right now to talk about all this. But so the other way, you know, the way that I've always done it is through meditation or relaxation techniques. Mm-hmm. Is that not a good way to get rid of stress?
You're better able to meditate and relax after you have allowed your body to tell its physical story.
Okay.
So mindfulness practices address the mind. And we want to include the body and drop the perspective that your body is a misbehaving, betraying child that needs to be punished into submission and overcome.
Okay.
We want to regard our body as this glorious partner that has done everything we have asked it to do to help us maintain and get along. And the reason that it hurts is because it's been doing what we've asked it to do. So we want to tell our body, oh, I love you. I appreciate you. You helped me survive. It worked. What is it that you need? And be like the best parent you could possibly be to your body. And I should mention that I have put together a little YouTube video on my channel, Ronell1111. It's a minute and 20 seconds. It's tiny little excerpts of the Strolling Under the Skin video. And I originally wanted it just to be able to show my clients before they get on the table the material that we're working with. But I narrate it, and there's another one where I subtitled it. And I explain really quickly in a minute what you're seeing on the screen. So it kind of leads you by the hand in a really quick view of what the fascia is. And that's a great place for people to go. You can also
what is your website?
Just go to our website.
I'm sorry.
It's at www.ohmsanctuary.com. That's O-H-M as in mom. sanctuary.com, and there's a lot of explanatory information there, videos to look at, and ideas of where we are and what we do.
Okay, so that's O-H-M, like Ohm?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Ohm okay,
sanctuary.
Great. So anybody that wants to, so we're talking today with Ronell Wood, who is the author of Touching Light, How to Free Your Fiber Optic Fascia. And your book can be purchased through your website?
Yes, it's available also on Amazon.
Okay, perfect, perfect, perfect. Well, this has been fascinating for me, and I'm sure for my listeners. You know, as I told you before we got on, this just blew my mind. I watched the video. I saw this. I've shared it with my son, who's going to be a doctor. I just want everybody to know about this. So I think this is so important, and I'm so glad that you came today to be my guest and educate us on this very, very important groundbreaking technique. So thank you, Ronelle.
I am so happy to do this. It's my favorite topic.
And like I said, you know, let me know when you're in the area, and we'll talk about it some more. So,
indeed,
you know,
I will.
Please contact me and let me know when you're on your tour. But thank you, and I wish you a wonderful, joyous day.
Thank you, Randy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So we are out of time for today, but if you have any comments or questions about today's show, you can email me at loveyourlife@randygfine.com, RANDIGFINE.com. My website is also randygfine.com. So visit me there and read my articles, hundreds of them. I've links to everything that I do, all my shows. And you will always, if you go to my website, you can also go to my Blog Talk Radio page, but if you go to my website, I have links to all the upcoming shows. They're all amazing. Like Ronelle, I was very, very lucky to have her come on my show today, and I always have really interesting guests for you, so you want to be aware of that. So visit my website, randygfine.com. All my shows are archived after broadcasting and can be listened to at your convenience on Blog Talk Radio, iTunes, or through the show links on my website. Thanks again for tuning in and listening to A Fine Time for Healing. I am your talk radio show host, Randy Fine, signing off until next time. May joy and serenity always be yours. Goodbye.
Thanks for listening. You can find out more about Randy at her website, Randy G. Fine, RANDIGFINE.com. Join her next time for more of A Fine Time for Healing.
Hard not to hesitate, but we can't wait to be the change. Be the change. Be. There's a better way.